Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Listen In with KNN on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM is getting you ready for the upcoming NFL draft next month. As today, I welcome in two NFL hopefuls, Mr. Leon Johnson and Tim Roberts. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag Listen In with KNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
It's now time to recognize my Kelsey's Do Good Sports Organization of the Week, where today I'm honoring Dream for Kids DC. Now, if you've never heard of them before, they provide free adaptive clinics, vocational mentorship programs, and other activities for children with physical and developmental disabilities, giving them the opportunity to participate in their favorite sports, come off the sidelines, and get into the game. These activities give them confidence that carry over from the field to the home, to the classroom, and the community. So joining me today to speak more about this fabulous nonprofit is Ms. Rachel Merritt, the chair of the board of directors for Dream for Kids DC. Rachel, how are you?
I'm great, Kelsey. Thank you so much. And that's a great introduction for Dream for Kids DC.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And honestly, it's an honor to honor people like you and your organization that just does so good within our greater Washington community. So let's get into it. I mean, in simple terms, I mean, how would you explain the work that Dream for Kids DC does for those who maybe have never, ever heard of this organization?
I would say the simplest terms would be life-changing. I know that's a very large catch-all. We basically have three different types of programs. The first are our clinics, and those are sports or adaptive programs like water skiing, baseball, ice hockey, the prom, that we have about once a month, where our participants are partnered up with volunteer mentors for the day, and we have a one-to-one ratio for the children to interact, build camaraderie, and socially interact and make friendships during those activities. And those activities, several of them, we also partner with professional sports teams or college sport teams. So for our golf clinic, typically we're with the University of Maryland Golf. For our football clinic, we worked with the Washington Redskins, their rookie day last year.
Yeah.
Our ice hockey clinic is with the Capitals. Our second type of program is our holiday celebration, and this is an opportunity for our participants to actually give back to the community during the holiday season. So it used to be just a big free-for-all party, and
right.
Now it's a free-for-all party with activities that give back, so writing cards for veterans. We actually had participants come up with ideas like stuffing purses to give to women at Dress for Success, different types of fun like that.
Okay,
and the
wonderful.
And the final program is our Your Path to Success program, which takes young adults who are also have special needs who are transitioning and teaches them work and jobs readiness skills.
Wonderful. I love that everything is incorporated. It's like a holistic approach, and you guys cover all bases and all areas. So just staying with that, I mean, how many kids does your organization serve right now?
Over the years, we served about 2,000 participants and volunteers.
Okay.
Again, it's important to mention the volunteers because of that one-to-one ratio.
Right.
And our age bracket is from 4 to 24 years old.
Wow, right. So it's a wide range of people. And then that one-to-one ratio, you don't get that everywhere. So I really feel like, you know, that's what makes your nonprofit so unique and just, you know, such a great organization. And then go ahead.
No, I was just to say that's one facet. The other facet is that we allow siblings of our children with special needs and disabilities to attend and join with them. A lot of times it's either you have the able-bodied child doing their activities or you have the special needs child doing their activities, but very rarely do you have them come together and do things at the same event.
Right, and that, like you said, that brings them together, and I feel like that will both teach both, you know, both the children just lifelong lessons, and so that's such a valuable experience. And, you know, you guys were recently in the news because your group was the first recipient of the $1,000 in ride credits through Lyft's new D.C. Community Grants program. So tell me a little bit about how will this help to further your impact in the community?
Sure. We're very excited to be the first and very honored to be the recipient. Most importantly, the grant will go towards helping our participants who are in the Your Path to Success program. One of the modules of that is actually going out and visiting job sites. So this will help them go to their job sites with their mentor through that program and visit and learn skills in that way. The other way it'll help is extend our reach. Glenda Fu, who is our executive director, does a lot of outreach to community and speaking engagements, and also, of course, those really important meetings to meet funders.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Lyft, it's so good that they do this in the community, and I'm so glad your organization was the first to receive this, and that job readiness, I mean, that's huge. You know, you can't get that all from everywhere, so making it a bit easier to get there, congratulations to you and congratulations to Lyft. And then, I mean, just staying with that question, why is the work that Dream for Kids DC does just so important in our community?
It's very important because often this population is left on the sidelines. You know, most of our kids haven't ever gone water skiing or haven't ever thought of the ability to go ice skating or playing ice hockey or even throwing a football. And the types of programs we offer are adaptive. So those who might not have the ability to walk or who have difficulty with mobility, we actually provide adaptive equipment for them to participate. And it really is a life-changing experience. Kids who never thought they would be able to do what their friends and siblings and classmates do, we provide them with that opportunity.
Right, right. And like you said, I mean, it's so unique in the sense of what the things that you guys do with the children. So, I mean, it's so great that you guys have continued this program for so long in that big age range. And last but not least, for people hearing this who want to either be a volunteer or maybe possibly even sign their kids up, where can they learn more about the organization?
You can learn more at our website, which is dreamsforkidsdc.org, and that's F-O-R, not the letter. So dreamsforkidsdc.org. And you can sign up for our newsletter or find out more information. We're always looking for volunteers for different events. We're also looking for sponsors for our programs. Again, these are free programs for all of the programs, Your Path to Success, the Holiday Celebration, and our clinics. So it takes a family to build, and we've had such great support from the community. It's been amazing how much we've grown over the past couple of years with the support of the community and the parents.
Wonderful. Rachel, thank you so much for joining me, and congrats once again to Dream for Kids DC for earning this week's honors. I mean, it was a pleasure to have you, and thanks for informing us all about the great work that you guys do. It's now time for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with our special guests.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch. And if you desire a fresh, handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when...
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now the time to get into the show and welcome in my special guests, Mr. Leon Johnson and Tim Roberts. How are you, fellas?
I'm doing well. I can't complain.
Good. I'll start with Leon. Leon, how are you doing up there?
I mean, I got to get back used to the colder weather. But, I mean, I can't complain. I'm blessed. I cannot complain.
Yeah. And what about you, Tim?
Oh, I also can't complain. I'm out here in Louisiana right now, and I'm enjoying the weather. So it's beautiful out here right now.
I'm jealous.
It's been beautiful out here. Yeah.
So I'll start with you, Tim. What are you doing out in Louisiana right now?
Oh, I've been working out each and every day. I work out at least 2 times a day. You know, I've been working out with a guy named Sean, and I've been working at a gym with him. And I've just been, you know, crafting my work. You know, stay on top of my diet. You know, getting my body right, you know, until April 13 is when the Saints local day is, and that's what I'm waiting on, and that's what I'm training my body for. And then, of course, the draft.
Okay, right. And then you said a diet that you're starting to do. Can you explain a little bit about what this diet is that you're doing to get ready?
Oh, definitely. Well, while we was doing our 8-week training, you know, we had to start eating right. And
right.
and we was eating basically, some people would call it nasty food, some people would call it healthy food. Hey, it wasn't too bad, though. You know, it's just basically food to keep you healthy, you know, stay on top of your greens, your fruit, and baked chicken, you know, steak,
okay,
and, you know, things in that nature, no fried foods, you know, but stuff like that.
All right, cool. And then, Leon, what about you? Have you been training as well?
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing, just
all
making
right.
sure I'm eating good, running, okay, staying in shape, and working out. You know, I went, I'm just going back to my old alma mater, so that's where I'm working out at. You
okay,
know, I'm
cool.
preparing my own meals and stuff, trying to get ready for these local days I got coming up. Yep.
Nice, cool. Okay, well, I'll start with you, Leon, so people can get to know you. 22 years old, you're an only child. Shout out to the only children out there. And then you're from Plainfield, New Jersey, and then you ended up at Temple University. So tell me a little bit about your journey from Plainfield, New Jersey, and to how you chose, you know, Temple University for your football career.
Well, I mean, I went to a charter school that was just opening up. Excuse me. Charter school that was just opening up, and you know, they didn't have the curricula qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long process for me with the NCAA clearinghouse. And, you know, a lot of schools wasn't sure whether or not I'd get eligible in time. But, you know, my former recruiting coach, Alan Mogridge, you know, he was coming back and forth from Philadelphia to Plainfield, which was about an hour, 30 minutes. And he was doing this twice a week. And, you know, me as an 18-year-old kid seeing – I look up the colleges and stuff like that, and to see somebody do that for me, I felt like that was the spot I needed to be.
Right. And then where is Plainfield, New Jersey?
So Plainfield is like north central Jersey. It's about 25 minutes from Newark.
Okay. So understand. And you got to stay on the East Coast, which I'm sure was nice for you.
I mean, it wasn't the distance from home really wasn't that big of a deal for me. It wasn't the biggest. I just wanted to be somewhere where I knew I could, it would work for me, you know.
Okay. Makes sense. And then, Tim, where are you from originally, and what led you to the university at Buffalo?
Well, I'm originally from a little country town in Louisiana called Desaulniers. You know,
okay,
a lot of people from Louisiana never even heard of it.
I have family from Louisiana, so you got to tell
exactly
me where that is.
Exactly. It's in the middle of nowhere. Like, it's right next to the bayou, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's in the middle of nowhere. But I went to Hornville High School a few minutes up my road. And, you know, my road has been crazy. That was so much adversity. And I went to Hornville, and I played linebacker there. And my coach didn't really help me out, you know, with recruiting and everything, so I was overlooked. So I took a bet on myself, my boy from UCLA, Kenny Young. He hooked me up with a JUCO out there in California. And I went out there to California all by myself with nothing in my pockets. You know, my first night there, you know, I slept on the floor with eight other guys, you know, and my first semester, I ate a number of ramen noodles, and I was struggling, you know, and my parents were trying their best basically to put me through and get me through. And I'm so blessed that they was with me all throughout the way to help me support. And so I was out there in California. I played 2 years. And I got the offer from Buffalo, and I tell you this, Buffalo is one cold city. You know, I ain't never been in the snow before. But that's the reason, a big reason why I went to Buffalo is because, you know, I went down south, I went down to the west side, and
right,
I wanted to be on the east side and basically get my body right for the snow, because I know a lot of NFL teams, they play
right
in the snow, so I wanted to adapt my body, you know, and get ready in the snow, because that snow is another world. Now, I'm telling you, it's another thing right there.
Yeah, especially Buffalo cold. That's a whole nother type of cold.
Oh, man. Oh, definitely. That's a whole nother level.
Wow. And tell me, how do you two know each other?
Well, I didn't know Tim prior to us training together. We both have the same agent, Rashida Corniger. And, you know, with us both being in the same situation as far as the draft is concerned, we just trained in the same place and we got to know each other there.
Okay, cool. Makes sense. And I want to have a little bit of fun with you guys. I love that you guys have very different and unique interests. So I will start with you, Leon. I have to be honest with you. I have not met many guys that love cats, and you're a cat lover. So you got to explain that one to me.
I mean, I don't even know how to explain it to you. Being the only child, you get to experiment. I guess that's as best as I can put it.
Okay.
You get a chance to experiment. So while everybody was running around with their brothers and sisters, I was running around with a cat, and he kind of ended up my brother. So it's like, I don't know. I'm a little weird.
It's not bad. I think it's good. Do you still have a cat now, or is that just in
yes,
the childhood?
I do. His name is Ramsey. He's he should be 7 coming up this spring.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a little monster, yeah.
Very cool. And then, Tim, you have such a unique thing in the fact that you had a pet alligator. I know on social media this week, the video in Louisiana, I don't know if you guys saw it, with the gender reveal where the couple
yeah,
in Louisiana used the gator.
That.
You saw that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was the countryest thing I've ever seen in
my life.
But that's the type of stuff you see down here.
Wow. So you've seen stuff like that before.
Well, to be honest, I haven't seen a gender reveal doing that. That was something, I ain't never seen that before. But people playing with alligators all the time, you know. And, yes, I did have a pet alligator. I actually was fishing one day. I seen it, you know, and I went behind it. I caught it, and I took it home, and I put it in, like, a little fish tank. Yeah, I hung a piece of meat from the top so I could eat, and I put some rocks and some water in there. So, and then the next night, somehow it got out.
Oh,
I don't know. And I couldn't find it. I could not find it. And everybody looking for it, my mom was yelling at me. She mad.
I'm sure.
You know, so I can't find it. And then all of a sudden it was in the living room behind the sofa. And I had to take it. I had to catch it again. And she told me I can't have it in the house no more. So I took it away. But yeah. And that's funny because a lot of people, when I tell them that, they'd be like, I'm lying. So I told them like a little small picture that I had, and you know, just so they know I'm telling the truth.
Wow. And you said you caught the alligator. How in the world did you learn how to catch alligators?
Man, I was watching. I always did. I mean, coming from Louisiana, you see it all the time. You know, people out here always eating alligators, and they always call me like the pet exterminator. You know what I mean? They always always catch any animals. Like it could be lizards, frogs, cats, dogs. You know, snakes, you know, I had a whole bunch of snakes growing up, iguanas, chameleons.
Oh,
like, I'm a little country boy, you know, walk outside with my bare feet and go out there in the rocks, in the mud, and go underneath the house and catch something, you know.
Wow.
And so, that's just the way we live out here. And, you know, like, I'm surrounded by the woods, and that was what we did for fun.
Right, so I'm sure nothing on the football field can scare you. I mean, if you're already doing that growing up.
Exactly.
Very cool. And then I have to get back to you, Leon. So something unique about you, I thought, was that you've been playing football since 9th grade, which I think is kind of a late start, right? Because it seems like most people that play football get into, you know, what is it, the little peewee leagues. So tell me, I mean, how were you able to kind of catch up so quickly and, you know, become a good football player?
I don't know. I guess one of my strengths is, you know, my ability to use the cerebral aspect of the game to help me out. I think kind of with basketball is a little bit different. Basketball, you need more skill, and that skill has to be learned for a long period of time, as opposed to football is more or less natural skills, speed, power, things like that. But for me, I just, you know, I'm a thinker. So, you know, just being able to outthink opponents and just use IQ to help me out with some of the things that I lack from my late start. You know, one of my professional athletes I look up to is Roy Jones.
Yeah.
Something he always said was, I'm going to beat you with my mind before I beat you with my hands. So I kind of tried to take that and adapt it and put it into football, and I guess it worked out.
Yeah, obviously, right? I mean, you're preparing now for the next level. And so you did play basketball in high school, so did that also help you with your football career?
Yeah, it was just, I mean, the more you could do, the more you could do. I guess it helped me stay in shape, I guess, you know. I just wanted to do something all year round, you know.
Right.
Me being from the city, we go to parks and ain't no alligators to catch. So it's like we always playing a sport, you know. So
You're keeping busy in other ways.
Yeah.
Very cool. And now I want to get back to you, Tim. I think something very unique is that you did do the community college route, which is a route I don't think that gets talked about enough. And there are a good amount of football players that are great at the game that went that route. So what words of advice would you give, you know, to those right now in community college that also have dreams of possibly one day playing the National Football League?
I would tell everybody anything is possible. You know, if you believe and you know that you believe in your talents and you work as hard as I did, and probably even harder, then your dreams will come true. And get, if it's not the D1, it's D2, it doesn't matter. But if you put the work and time in, I guarantee they'll be successful. And I tell them, like, just keep your head up, stay positive, and
like something I did, you know, my first 2 years, I rarely went out. You know, I didn't really go out. I stuck my head in the books, you know, because, you know, that was the most important thing. You got to get through those 2 years. You know, even though I was a qualifier out of high school, I had a 3.7, like, but, you know, it wasn't grades with me. It was all about, you know, getting those looks and everything. But, you know, and there's so much things out there in California, you know, sidetracked. I've seen the best athletes come in there and just mess up, you know, so much talent, so much raw talent. And you're talking about guys that's not even on scholarships. So you got to pay for things. Like, I had to pay for everything out of my pocket, you know. Financial aid helped me a little bit, but I had to take out loans and everything, you know, just to put me through. So it was just like a dog-eat-dog world. And I ain't gonna lie, like, my first semester, I didn't have any friends. I didn't want any friends. I went out there with a dog-eat-dog mentality, and I was going to get it because this is my only shot. You know, I didn't have no scholarship. I'm working for a scholarship, and they had plenty of guys in front of me when I first got there. So a lot of people tucked their tail instead of using that as motivation and just worked.
Right. And obviously, it's a work ethic. I always tell everybody that. To get through college, you really have to be able to push yourself. Because like you said, unfortunately, not everybody does get through. You know, so you guys getting through, I mean, that speaks obviously to your work ethic. And I love the academic component that you mentioned. I mean, you have so many academic awards as well, which is another thing I don't think enough athletes get credit for. You're a 2017 Academic All-Mid American Conference football team. Remember, you were a semifinalist for the 2017 William B. Campbell Trophy, which is considered by many to be the Academic Heisman. So how big is that? The Campbell Trophy recognizes the individual as the absolute best football scholar athlete in the nation, and you were also a part of the first team Academic All-District football team by the 2017 College Sports Information Directors of America. So tell me, I mean, a little bit about what would you say, you know, how were you able to succeed in the classroom and on the football field? Because I feel like we say it like it's easy, right, like just focus and pay attention, but specifically, how were you able, I mean, to excel so high in academics and still get these big highlights on the football field?
Man, check this out. You know, ever since I was a little kid, you know, my mama engraved that academics is first. Mm-hmm. And with me, I always wanted to make my mama and my people proud, you
right.
know. And so, you know, academics, she always preached, every academics comes first. So, and, you know, it's just a balance that you had to come to. And me, I took, when I first got to Buffalo, I had to take 17 credits, and then I had to take 19, my last one, just to get, because I didn't want to take any credits my last year. So
gotcha.
I loaded up on credits as much as I could. But, you know, I always got it done, you know
right.
what I'm saying? And I always put my mind to it, you know. I don't believe nothing is hard. I believe if you put the time and effort into it, and you put everything into it that you got, I guarantee you it's gonna be a struggle, but you could get through it, you know.
Right.
And that's basically what I did. You know, I took that extra day to study. You know, I studied. I hit my books as much as I did with my film. I watched film. Right after I watched film, I studied. After I studied, I watched film. You know, and that's why I didn't really go out, because I was so busy, basically, you know, with in the books or. You know, going to film study, you know, and that's what separates those that want to be good and those that want to be great. And, you know, me and Leon talk football all the time. And, you know, when we were staying together, you know, we always, I could pick his mind about what he knows about with football, you know, his mindset. And we both have similar mindsets when it comes to football.
Okay. And I mean, that's why you guys are on here. I think your mindsets are so great. And I think, you know, you guys kind of are examples of football players. They're more than just what they're doing on the football field. You guys are individuals that think, you know, so intellectual and you talk so well. I'm very impressed, you know. And
yeah, and that's something, you know, that's something I always wanted to I was such an advocate for it when I was in school.
Right.
Because I don't know how it is in other universities, but around Temple, for some reason, some people looked at us as if we were – they looked at us as athletes and never
right.
considered us as students.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
a lot of times they were referred to us as football players, and every single time I will correct them and say, I am a student athlete. I go
right.
to school.
Exactly.
I make my grades just as you do, and then I'm an athlete.
Right.
And I think that's something that I would advise all athletes to do is to expand your capabilities.
Right.
Don't allow people to box you in and marginalize you as just an athlete. Because we're
right.
so much more, we have so much more abilities and so many different talents. We're so far beyond just athletes.
Exactly. Well said. I mean, and with everything going on right now, I'm going to take this to you, Leon. I mean, you put out there, you know, you're an advocate to change the world, and you said you're very active in debates that's around politics.
Absolutely.
And racial tensions in this country. And you know what you just said related, you know, to something that's going on right now when Laura Ingraham said, you know, just shut up and dribble, right, to LeBron James, basically, and Kevin Durant, right, of all people. And from hearing what you just said, and then with all that's going on, right, let's just keep it with football, right, with Colin Kaepernick and his stance on things. I mean, I guess my question to you is, I mean, are you ever afraid sometimes to speak out about your opinions on politics and racial tensions for fear of, you know, what it might do for your sports career?
Always. I wouldn't say fearful. I would say cognizant, just to be able to understand how to maneuver a little bit different. But, you know, it's tough because you're constantly battling between your career and your morals. And you know, given my situation, I'm not a highly regarded prospect or anything like that. I really got to be more careful of things that I say for the next couple of years.
Right.
And then at the same time, it's the other part of me is battling. Like, I see things every day that I want to change and that I have the capability to change. I'm on a platform to at least speak up about it.
Right.
But how do I go about it? So, you know, I want to educate other kids and I want to know, look, this is what the system wants us to do.
Right.
But this is what you are capable of doing. Because I'm from a lot of the same situations that a lot of kids I deal with on a day-to-day basis are in. And, man, your situation, a lot of people say I'm a product of my environment. No, you need to be a product of your experience. The more you experience, the better off you will be in your life.
Yeah. Oh, well, so I'm going to have to take that from you. I like that a
lot.
Yeah. And then with just what you just said, Leon, I know you're also interested in philanthropy and, you know, really bettering our youth. So is this kind of, you know, your way of kind of being that role model? Now, you know, I'll throw this to both of you guys. So often sometimes we hear some athletes say, you know what, I don't want to be a role model. I just want to live life, you know, and I make mistakes. I'm human. I'll start with you, Leon. You know, what would you say to athletes that say that?
I say you got to get out of your own ways.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those guys are insecure. They don't. They may be, and I'm just going on a limb, but maybe they aren't comfortable having millions and millions of kids that wake up in the morning and want to be them every morning. Mm-hmm. And I say, when you get to a certain, and I'm a believer in the Lord, and I believe we should pass the word of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's no different with life. When you get to a certain stage, like me and Tim, we graduated college.
Yes.
Like, a large percentage of my friends will never be able to say that. A lot of kids that's coming up, I mean, sorry to say, but a lot of them won't ever graduate from college. So my goal and my job as a human being is to bring as many people along as I can. And that's why I'm so passionate about, and we call it philanthropy. I just call it being a human being, just caring about each other. I just care so much about people behind me because if I do make it to the NFL, I could tell you how to get to college with your grades messed up. I can show you how to graduate from college. I can show you how to work into becoming a professional athlete. You know, so that's my job. My job is to bring others along.
Right. And what about you, Tim? I mean, what would you say to those athletes, you know, that don't feel like they need to be role models for the next generation?
Well, Leon said it perfectly, man. Leon, I love the way Leon be going into it all, you know, and that's how me and him close now, you know. And but I would say basically, like, you know, like you said, like, they're not comfortable with so many kids looking up to them, you know. But with me, I've always been taught to be myself, you know, so that's all I could be, is be myself.
Right.
And if there are kids watching me, I try my best to you know, speak proper, you know, speak, not basically proper, but speak, you know, formal and speak, you know, highly encouraging them, you know, and just being myself, like I said, you know. And one guy, because before I didn't know if I should talk the way I talk or should I, you know, talk, you know, very proper form. You know, I didn't know that. But a wise man once told me that, you know, you are who you are. So, you know, to be yourself, and you can't change that. And so, I'm so blessed that my mom raised me the way she raised me. So I'm able to speak about things that I can and basically like that.
Yeah, and I feel like for me covering NFL teams, honestly, those teams will appreciate you being genuine and real, right? Because I think we can all tell people, you know, who aren't being genuine or real with you, and nobody wants that because then they don't know who you are. You know, from talking with both of you guys, you know, I can hear that. And, Leon, I love the point that you brought up. You know, you guys both graduated. That's another thing I don't think that enough athletes get credit for, you know, is graduating. Making it through college for anyone, you know, is a huge deal and accomplishment. I always tell people, you know, where I went to school because that was a lot of work that you had to put in, not even, you know, just to get there, but then to finish. Yeah. And so you graduated with your Bachelor of Arts in Advertising. What, you know, what enabled you to pick that as a major?
When I was young, I started off in communication. Advertising is a like a subdivision of communications, but I started off in media studies and production.
Okay.
And so, you know, my late grandmother, when I was young, we always looked up to Don Lemon because he was a black man on CNN, and it was like, it was crazy. And so she was like, I want you to do that. And, you know, I'm fairly articulate, and I'm into what's going on right now, so I know what's going on in the world, current events and stuff. So I was like, all right, let me try it. And it was okay, but it didn't really fit exactly what I wanted to do. So I just switched over to advertising. I love how the human mind works, and I love how advertising plays so much on our brains and how we work as individuals. And so that's why I got into advertising. I actually did and, you know, just to give credit back to media studies and production, I did an internship with NBC Universal, Comcast Sportsnet, and that was more media studies and production. We were covering games, and, you know, I did things like highlights, post-game shows, halftime shows, stuff like that. So, you know, I follow what my grandmother wanted me to do along with throwing my skills in it at the same time.
Yeah, nice. And that's also a place I interned when I was coming up through school. So I know the great stuff that you learned from there. And obviously it looks like it worked out for both of us. So it shows the importance of internships. And just staying with your internship, I know actually when you interned with them, weren't you interning and you went through several surgeries, right?
Oh, okay.
What
so when I first got there, I told them, you know, they torn us around the building and stuff like that. And I said, look, I'm going to be on crutches for 6 weeks, and then I'm going to be in a sling for 6 weeks. So I had hip surgery January 25th, still, you know, other than the first day, obviously. I made every day. After that, got off the crutches, got shoulder surgery, missed that day because of surgery, of course. And then, you know, I made sure I stayed in there. And I'm sure, you know, those people commend me for that. But I don't know how I did it.
Right.
You know, I think I humbled myself. And I just have a mental toughness. It's just like, I mean, nothing's going to stop me. And my internship actually was necessary for me to graduate. And that's not really why, you know, that's not why I pushed through it. But, you know, I think life is going to get harder sometimes. Football is a microcosm of my life.
Right.
And, you know, going to an internship that they're paying you to do on crutches isn't going to be the worst thing you got to deal with in your life. At some point, your child's going to be sick. Or you're going to have to deal with the death of one of your parents. Or you're going to be in a money situation. So, you know, life get hard sometimes. You just got to push through it.
Yeah, well said, well said. And, Tim, what about you? What did you graduate with?
Social science interdisciplinary major. And basically, I was, when I was going to JUCO, I was a nursing major.
Okay.
But my classes didn't meet up with the requirements at UB. And so I basically took on that. So now they wanted me to be in an accelerated program, but the classes was at the same time as my football schedule.
Okay.
So, yes. So I basically had to do that, you know, the social science. But now if I ever did want to go back and get graduate school, which one of these honors I had got was the Clifford Furman Award, and it gives me free graduation, and I'm still waiting to hear on that, you know. But, you know, I will go back and do the accelerated program for 1 year and basically come out a registered nurse. And so I'll be a nurse, but me, I like meeting my peak, so I wouldn't even stop at just being a nurse if I did decide to keep going with school. I would be a doctor, you know, be OBGYN. It don't matter. Like, I love animals. I might even be a vet. So all throughout my life, I love helping people, and I was always interested about the human body, and I was just, you know, and that's what got me to want to do nursing. And, you know, me, I want to be successful in life, so I'm going to reach my peak.
Nice. Well said. I mean, just your career aspect, honestly, is just so inspiring. I'm so impressed. I mean, a nurse, like, I haven't heard that in so long, and that's why it's so refreshing, honestly, to talk with you guys. Of course, I wish you guys the best with those careers. But now let's talk some football. Of course, the 2018 NFL draft is coming up. In the first round, we have the Cleveland Browns picking. No surprise there. Giants will be second. New York Jets will be third. They got that from the Indianapolis Colts. Cleveland Browns will be fourth. They got that one from Houston. Denver Broncos fifth. Indianapolis Colts will be six. They got that from the New York Jets. Tampa Bay Buccaneers seven. Chicago Bears eight. San Francisco 49ers nine. And the Oakland Raiders 10. And so I know you guys are seeing all the headlines, right, as we count down to the NFL draft. And, you know, now is the time we see all these mock drafts, right, and the projections and the top players. So I'll start with you on this one, Tim. You know, when you see all of this, and I know you guys probably aren't on people's roster, I mean, what's going through your mind initially when you see this, and why should people pay attention to you? I'll start with you, Tim.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you answered that. Well, check this out. We underdog. You know, I came from Buffalo. It's a smaller school. So, you know, that's giving me motivation by seeing that. You know, yes, I'm overlooked.
Right.
So while they out there partying, out there, you know, celebrating, I'm going to be in the gym. I'm going to be working. I'm going to be waiting on my call, you know. And I pray to God, if I am a late-round pick, you know, or free agent, doesn't matter. All I need is an opportunity. But
right.
I guarantee, like, For me and a couple of, you know, that's people that's being overlooked, I guarantee I'm working, you know,
right.
And I'm going to outwork whoever it is on the field. So all that's is politics, you know, all that's, you know, it don't have. So every time I see that, I look on there and I be like, I'm glad for them, but guess what? I'm coming to take their spot. So at the end of the day, it's a dog eat dog world. So I'm coming out there and I'm coming in there and take something.
Nice. Okay. And what about you, Leon?
Well, I mean, I'll start off by saying 2015, we started off what ended up being a record season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we ended up going 7-0. We beat Penn State at home. And one thing our coach said was stay off the internet.
Mm.
Stay off the internet, you know,
right.
Because it can be a distraction, obviously, you know. But I try not to, you know, I understand my situation. I've accepted where I am. And,
right.
you know, I don't need to check the mock drafts. All I need to do is one of those 3 days, have my phone ready. And, you know, I believe God will send a call. And once I get it, all I can say is I'm going to give 100% wherever I go, whether it be cold Chicago or nice sunny Miami. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to give 100%. I'm going to give you everything I have every day in the community, on the field, inside the meeting rooms, out in the homes, everywhere we are, you know, so. I know my situation. I've embraced that, and I'm just waiting on a chance.
Cool. All right, well, let's talk pro days, and I'll start with you, Leon. So you said it. I mean, Temple, I mean, your football program has done some incredible things. The seniors, you guys helped the program win its first bowl game since 2011.
11, yes, ma'am.
Isn't that crazy, okay?
Yes.
And you guys are graduating the winningest class in school history, so clap to you on that. And I know you were, one of the former Owls to participate in the pro day that was held back on March 19th. Now, you guys had nearly every NFL team was represented at your pro day with 30 teams sending people, total of 40 scouts. So overall, when you look back at the experience, I mean, how would you grade yourself and how do you think you stood out to the scouts?
I would say I showed the athleticism, showed the ability to move with the position drill, showed the ability to follow directions and translate those directions into movements. I think I could have, you know, a couple of things I could have did a little bit better in, but, you know, that day was that day. And
right.
to your point of the winning this class, I'm guaranteed that that will only stand for this year because the guys that came in, see, I won two games my freshman year. So the guys that came in,
wow.
when we won 10 games.
Yeah.
They've got 20 wins. Then they got 7 last year. So they'll probably beat us. But,
right.
Yeah, we did some great things. And, you know, being able to look back, it's like when we got to Pro Day, the day of, I'm like, yo, I'm really standing here in the same place that so many other generations of seniors were, and I'm standing here watching them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a humbling thing to be able to look back and say when I was in college, you know.
Right.
I'm just blessed to be a part of what we were able to do there, you know, 2 back-to-back 10-win seasons.
Right.
First bowl win, SEC win, ACC win, things like that. I mean, I'm honored to be a part of it. And I definitely want to thank Temple for being a part of my life. I really am blessed to have been there.
Nice. And I know the Temple alumni will love you forever for giving
Absolutely.
Them those memories.
Yeah.
Wow.
Penn State, I'll say, well, we came close to Notre Dame. We lost in the last play. Mm-hmm. And that was a very good team.
Right.
I think, you know, but my one of my best memories is definitely the Penn State win. Nobody,
yeah.
when I say nobody,
yeah.
with two lungs and a heart thought we would win that game besides us. It was
right.
just so surreal when we beat those guys.
Yeah, and I graduated from Maryland for undergrad, so I was glad too when you guys.
Yeah. Oh well, y'all on our schedule next year, so I hope.
Uh oh.
I hope you stay home for that game.
Let me tell you, if you guys beat Maryland, you cannot come back on my show. No, I'm just kidding. But no, but very cool, very cool. And now I will go to you, Tim. So University of Buffalo had their pro day as well, and I know it wasn't as high profile. You guys had scouts from a few teams, but you guys did have alum Andre Ford there. And tell me, how do you – I mean, when you go back and critique yourself overall, how do you think you did?
Man, I did excellent. I put it all out there. You know, I reached PRs and everything, every single drill I did, you know. And my eight-week training really paid off. You know, I sacrificed so much on my body, and I sacrificed, you know, putting time and so much time into the weight room and so much time into it. My numbers was horrible going into, you know, my eight-week training just to see my numbers at pro day. Was awesome, you know, and I'm just so blessed to leave it all out there. You know, I didn't go out there to impress the scouts. I went out there to impress myself. I went out there to set PRs for myself and put it all out there, so I have no regrets, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I killed every position, you know, and then when it got to the field work, I killed that. You know, I've been working so much hard on my craft, you know, flipping my hips, you know, my explosive breaks, you know, my quickness and being technically sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously, I mean, that's all you can do, and I love it. You said you did excellent. I think, you know, you are the best judge of yourself, and honestly, you feel good about it, and that's what people want to see. You have to be confident in yourself before anybody else can be confident in you, is what I always say. All right,
exactly.
So now I will go back to you, Leon. Okay, 6'4". 0.6, I'll give you that extra, because I always say I'm 5'8.5". People never like to give me that half. And 309 pounds. Wow. Okay,
yes.
So obviously, I'm sure you have a lot of eyes on you, but what would your one line be to an NFL scout about why you should be drafted?
Because I went to Temple. No. I would say I'm mentally, physically, and spiritually tough enough to deal with whatever the situation is.
Okay.
Whether that be coming in as a free agent, with four guys in front of me, finding a way to work and make the routine,
mm-hmm.
or if my second year I'm starting, and whatever the case is, I'm going to give 100% wherever or whatever the situation is.
Right.
That's my line.
No, that's good. That's good. All right, now I'll go to you, Tim. You're 6'1", 210 pounds. What would your pitch be to get on an NFL team and get drafted?
All right. My pitch, I've been running on my pitch. I tell any scout, when I was at the Buffalo Pro, I told them all, you know, I'll be the best fit for you. I'm the best guy. I'm fast. I'm explosive. I'm strong. I'm highly motivated. I'm obsessed with basically finding ways to get better on and off the field. You know, I'm going to put in the work. I'm going to outwork your best player. I would never let somebody beneath me or outside of me outwork me. I take this serious. I want to be in your league for 10 years. You know, I take this seriously, and I could play safety, dime, nickel, corner. It doesn't matter. For special teams, I'm playing special teams. If that's what you need, whatever I had on the field you need me at, I'm there. You know,
right.
I'm a team player, and I'm a huge asset to your team. And, you know, and I just tell them, you know, whenever your first day at camp, I'll be there a week before, and I'm out there.
Nice. Well, Sam, who doesn't like that, right? Someone that gets there early on time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm there on time.
I'm really punctual.
Nice. Very cool. Well, again, you guys, congrats on a successful pro day for both of you guys. I mean, just overall, I mean, I'll just get your overall experience. I know it was obviously your first pro days, but tell me, I mean, just in general, I mean, what do you kind of want your legacies, let's say, to be at your universities? And I'll start with you, Tim. What do you want to be remembered for most at University of Buffalo?
I just want to remember my name, you know, Tim Roberts. You know, at Buffalo, they always call me the Bayou Banger. It's funny because, you know, I'm from the Bayou, and I'm from Louisiana, and everybody be trying to talk like me and stuff like that. You know,
uh-huh.
I love that, you know, and they know when they pop on that film and they say my name, they're going to ring bells because I sold out every single play, and they gonna say some oohs and ahs when they see me hit running backs and when I hit wide receivers because
yeah.
I lay everything I got into it and I don't go there just trying to hit somebody softly. I try to go in there hit them with everything I got, you know, put their face in their chest. You know, my coach from JUCO always told me, you know, put your face in their chest, you might like it. So
yeah.
I liked it. I got my first taste of that, you know, coming up in Little League. So when I got my first taste of that, it was no stopping me. So, you know, just that hard pound football, you know, that's how we do it out here, you know, in the country. You know, that's what I love, so.
Yeah, and real quick, Tim, what's your favorite highlight from your overall career at Buffalo?
I definitely say when I hit Corey Davis, he was the top five pick for the Tennessee Titans. I hit him, and he was coming. He on a jet sweep, and he didn't even see me, I guess. And I ran straight through him, and I guarantee he felt that the next morning because the announcers even put it as, you know, they replayed that play over and over and over. But that was last year, you know. And this year, you know, I have to say, you know. Probably when we played Colgate, you know, so the D1AA, and that's what they called me, the Bayou Banger, because I banged them so hard. I guess that's what they called me. It was funny.
Yeah, definitely. And then Leon, what about you? What do you want to be remembered for at Temple?
Just as being a great person. I mean, football don't last forever, and half of 75% of what you did, people won't remember. They won't remember what number I wore, but people remember how you made them feel, you know, and I just want to be known and I want to be remembered as a great person, as someone who had a positive impact on people.
Yeah, well said. And with you as well, what was your favorite highlight from your football career?
Favorite highlight, definitely 2000 and what year was that? Might have been 15.
Okay.
Play Army. Might have been the third or fourth play of the game. And quarterback P.J. Walker threw a pick. And when a corner caught it, I full sprint, met him, and I tattooed him.
Wow.
Tattooed him now. But I, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that's the kid that passed away at the end of that year. So God rest his soul.
Yeah, rest in peace. Wow. All right. Well, before I let you guys go, I do like to do my Kelsey's biggest headlines in sports. And right now there is a lot of talk about the 2019 people who will be eligible for the first time for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now I'm going to say the names and then I'm going to get your guys' opinions and thoughts. So again, these are football players who are now eligible for the first time for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2019. So we have safety Ed Reed. We have tight end Tony Gonzalez. Cornerback Champ Bailey, London Fletcher, linebacker. Cornerback Asante Samuel, linebacker. Jonathan Vilma, offensive guard. Brian Waters, on offensive tackle. Jordan Gross. So any of those names, we'll start with you, Leon, that really stand out that you think definitely deserve to be eligible to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame class?
Well, given my bias as a Jets fan, Jonathan Vilma has to.
Yeah.
Absolutely has to. All those guys are going to be the pioneers for football for the rest of the existence of this sport. But, you know, with me being a Jets fan, Jonathan Vilma, throw him in there.
Okay. And what about you, Tim?
Oh, man, the first name you said on that thing, Ed
yeah.
Reed, the GOAT, man. That's the GOAT right there. He came from my rivalry school. We played them, and I always watched him growing up, actually, you know.
Yeah.
Because my school was called Hornville. His school was called Destrehan, and every time we played, you know, it was always excited just seeing him at the high school level. So I've been paying attention to him since the high school level. So, you know, he always been a guy I looked up to all my life, you know, since playing football, and I think he deserves it 100, you know.
Yeah.
And he played with, I want to say my cousins, you know, LaRon and DeJuan Landry. They played for the NFL for a while, but.
Oh,
you know,
those were your cousins.
Yeah, that's my cousins, yeah.
Yeah, I know the Landry brothers. Very cool.
Yep, they hit me up all the time, ask me how I'm doing and stuff like that. I should be seeing them tomorrow for Good Friday. You know, we all go down under the bridge, you know, barbecue and, you know, eat some crawfish. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they should be down there. Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, but Ed Reed, man, that's the guy. I know him you know, he had a lot of motivational speaks, and the things that he do for their high school is great. You know, he always giving back, you know, so he also is a great motivator and a great person. But when you turn on that film, man, you got to love him, man. He's just an animal, I'm telling you.
Yes, I mean, yeah, I'm based in the D.C. area. I grew up with the Baltimore sports fan base. I mean, Ed Reed, first team All-Pro 5 times in his NFL career. And, I mean, I don't think you can say anything about him and that Ravens defense that he helped to lead. So, I mean, such a great class. And I'm sure you guys, of course, also have dreams of one day being on this list. And hopefully I'll be talking about you guys way into the future when your career is over.
Yeah, put that into existence, man. We will.
Yeah,
we
that's
will.
All you can do, right? Speak it into existence. One to thank you both for joining me on my show. It was such a pleasure to have you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
We both want to say thank you to our agent, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, she's the best agent out there, hands down. She get things done, and, you know, me and Leon is just blessed to even have her.
Yeah, well said. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I want to thank U48 for getting this stomach up off me, because now I can, you feel me? Now I can, when I get my shorts on, I tuck my shirt in, I feel good about myself now. So.
Thanks,
too
bro.
Funny.
Thanks.
No, you guys are great. Like I said, I truly wish you guys the best of luck. I'll continue to follow the work that you guys are doing. And, of course, for those listening, the NFL draft will take place in Dallas, Texas, April 26th through April 28th. So make sure your calendars are marked. I might even get to go down there, which I'm really excited about. But, again, thank you guys so much. And for everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with KNN from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with KNN, visit foxsports1340am.com. Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.